Hallelujah. I want you to turn with me this morning to 2 Samuel chapter 6. Verse 20. It says, David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today." And this verse is dripping with sarcasm, by the way. "How glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids of his servants, as one of the base fellows shamelessly uncovers himself." David had put on priestly garments. He had exchanged the garments of a king for the garments of a priest, and was ushering the ark, or ushering the presence of God in. As a priest, David had a priestly anointing, and why wouldn't he? You know, he is a type and shadow of the son of David. So he was a prophet, he was a priest, he was a king. And David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will play music before the Lord, and I will be even more undignified than this." In other words, woman, you hadn't seen nothing yet. "And I will be humble in my own sight. I will get out of the way and let God be God. But as for the maidservants of whom you have spoken, by them I will be held in honor." They see more than you see. That's what he's saying. "Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death." I want to talk about touching the presence of God. Touching the presence of God. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for being here with us this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your presence and the anointing that we feel. And I know you're here to minister to needs, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. They were bringing the ark to Jerusalem. The Ark of the Covenant was in the most holy place of the tabernacle. And we've talked a lot about the tabernacle, and you understand that the Ark of the Covenant represented the very presence of God. When the high priest would go into the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies, on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, once a year, they went into the very presence of God, experienced the very presence of God. It was holy. Holy, holy. Those seraphim and cherubim around the throne of God, the Bible says that's what they sing. They sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is to come." Holy. The presence of God's a holy thing. And that Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God rested upon it. And everywhere it went, the presence of God went with it. It carried the presence. It was a carrier of the presence of God. And so they were bringing the ark to Jerusalem. But David, in his eagerness and in his haste, forgot some very important things. God had given specific instructions about moving the ark. It was to be carried by the priest. There were special poles that slid through the rings of the ark that you carried it on. There were specific instructions about how to move the ark. David just got in a hurry. Folks, you can't get in a hurry with God. Amen. God doesn't get in a hurry. I mean, you got to do things a certain way. David just neglected all of that. I'm sure he just wanted to get the ark to Jerusalem. So they put the ark on a cart, was pulled by oxen. And you know, the roads back in those days were full of potholes and they were dirt roads and had ruts in them and they were rough. And this cart is rocking back and forth. These oxen are pulling it. It's going down this rough path. And the ark is sliding. The Ark of the Covenant is sliding a little bit, moving a little bit. And it just looks like it's going to topple off this cart. And there was a man named Uzzah who was nearby. And he's watching this. And he's worried that the ark is going to fall. And then apparently they hit some kind of deep rut. I don't know, but the cart started to tilt. And it looked as if the Ark of the Covenant was going to come fall off. And to his horror, Uzzah thought the Ark of the Covenant was fixing to fall on the ground. And the good man that he was, with a good heart, I mean, that was unthinkable to him. So then he goes and does something God had explicitly said not to do. He runs up there and grabs the ark to keep it from falling and puts his hands on it. And the minute he touched that ark, he came in contact with the presence of God. Moses said, "Lord, show me your glory. Show me your glory," like the song we were just singing. "I want to see your face." And God said, "Moses, no man can see the face of the Lord and live. You can't, Moses, you can't experience the fullness of my glory. If I were to show you the fullness of my glory, you would die." And the Bible says that God passed by Moses and that God actually shielded him and protected him from the glory. And it does say that Moses saw the hinder parts of God as he was walking off Sinai. Wow. He saw God's back as he was walking away. He was that close. But he couldn't behold the fullness of God's glory. You can't, in this old covenant, before the new covenant, you couldn't come in full contact with the glory. And Uzzah reached out and came in contact with the glory, and he died. Not because God's mean, not because God's, it's just the glory. And he said, don't touch it, you know. It's like if a power line is down, don't touch it. Electricity's not mean. Electricity's not bad. Electricity's not out to get you. But if you walk out there and grab a hold of it, it's going to bite you. Amen. And the glory of God is the same way. You got to understand how it works. And in that day, David just got careless and Uzzah died. Well, how many of you have ever gotten sideways with your wife or with your husband or with a friend, gotten sideways with somebody? Don't raise your hand. But that would be all of you. And if you're like me, you get a little sideways, it don't feel good. And you don't like it. You don't like to get sideways with people you love and you care about. Feels bad. And I'm one of those kind of people that if I ever get sideways with something, I got to make it right. I can't even sleep. You know, it's got to be fixed. And I'll come seeking you out. It's just, we got to get this fixed. I don't like things between me and people. I just don't like it. So we get it worked out. We get sideways with somebody. David got sideways with God. When Uzzah fell dead, David got mad. He got angry. And he got an attitude. And it went something like, "Really? God? This is what you do? This is the kind of God you are? You do understand we're trying to bring your ark to Jerusalem. You do understand we're trying to do something good here. You do understand that the ark was about to fall and our dear brother was just trying to help out. You do understand that. So what's the deal? You know, why are you up there just throwing lightning bolts around and killing people and just being so angry and being a big bully?" And then David was like, "You know what? You keep your old ark. Just keep your old ark. Do what you want to with it. I don't want it anymore. I just, you know what? We're going to Jerusalem. We're going home. Yeah, I don't care what y'all do with it." That was his attitude. So David, what do we do? I don't care. Tell you, I give it to somebody. I don't want it. You get sideways with God. And if you've ever gotten sideways with God, and I know most of you probably have, that's something you want to get right. Because it don't feel good. God, where were you the other day when we had all those problems? Why didn't you show up? Why did you let this happen? What's the deal with you? And you get sideways with God, but then a little later you start thinking about it. David got to thinking about it. And he started hearing, and this is the part I like, he started hearing reports that they put the Ark of the Covenant in the house of Abinadab, and he was being blessed. I mean, the presence of God was blessing that man, and just good things started happening. And people would come to Dave and say, you have heard about Abinadab and his house and his family and how they're being blessed. Yeah, I heard about it. I don't want to hear about it. And it just kept on and on. And finally, David realized he was sideways with God and he needed to get it right. And the way to get it right was to bring the ark to Jerusalem, and he decided to do it the right way. And they correctly brought the ark, and the Bible says that David put on priestly garments and he danced in front. They were coming down the road, and David is dancing in front of the ark. What a picture. And he is ushering in the presence of God, touching the presence of God. He dances wildly before this big crowd. And when Michael mocks him and says, you know, you look like an idiot out there today dancing around in those priestly garments and everybody looking at you and throwing your legs up and your hands up. And you looked radical. You looked crazy. You looked like one of them charismatic Pentecostal people that just rolling around and you just looked like you were out of control. And I like what David said. Well, you hadn't seen anything yet. I can get wilder than that. Amen. Hallelujah. Andre Crouch said one time, you call me a holy roller, and I guess it's true, but if you knew what I was rolling about, you'd be rolling too. It's just that when you come into the presence of God and you experience God's presence and you experience God's glory, it changes you. It changes you. The Bible says we are to offer a sacrifice of praise. A sacrifice is a one step beyond convenience. Let me say that again. Sacrifice is one step beyond convenience. When it's no longer convenient, when it's no longer proper, when it's no longer just fits in with the norm, it's one step beyond that. Then it becomes a sacrifice of praise. That I'm taking my worship and I'm taking my praise to another level because I want to experience the presence of God. Peter getting out of the boat, walking. It would have been a lot better and more convenient, more comfortable to just stay in the boat. You can be a boat hugger or a water walker. It's your choice. Zacchaeus, the wealthiest man, one of the wealthiest men in Jericho, climbs a tree and is hanging off of a limb just to get a look at Jesus. That's going one step. That's getting into the area of sacrifice. The woman with the alabaster box pressing through the crowd and breaking up a year's worth of ointment to anoint the feet of Jesus. The woman with the issue of blood pressing through the crowd. Amen? Amen. Lift up a shout of praise. Say amen.
Amen.
God wants us to break out. Why? Because he wants you to touch the presence. See, what Moses couldn't do, what Uzzah couldn't do, you can do. Because of the cross, you can come boldly into the presence and you can touch the presence of God.
Amen.
Michael had no children. She was made barren. When you get sideways with God and you get into that cynical place with God, that's a place of death. It's a place of barrenness. There's no life in it. Amen? But coming into his presence, those men and women that decide to go the extra mile, those men and women that decide to experience the extraordinary, those are the ones that experience the life of God. That's what the heart of God responds to. Now, I'm not saying there's a set way to do it. We're all different. You know, we have different personalities. We approach things in different ways. God's created us with uniqueness, and that uniqueness is a part of our worship. It's a part of our relationship with God, and that's a good thing. But the presence of God is the womb from which miracles flow. The presence of God is the womb from which miracles flow. And that's why it's important. Abinadab was receiving miracles. God was blessing. Why? Because the presence of the Lord was there. That's where you want to be. You want to be in the presence of God. The presence of his glory. The Bible says, in your presence there is fullness of joy. The Bible says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, you will have them. God will start dropping things in your heart. Do you know where the desire? The Bible says, he gives us the desires of our heart. That doesn't mean he gives us everything we want. The Bible says what he means is he gives us desires. He gives us godly wants. He gives us godly desires to get thirsty for the presence of God. God wants to partner with you. David finally realized that. Lining up with God and partnering with God. Coming into his presence. Amen. The Bible says in Colossians that all things consist or held together by him. God holds all things together. And when we partner with him, the things of our lives that seem like they're a little sideways or a little out of whack, touching the presence brings everything back in order. When God saves you, he marks his temple. The Bible says we are marked by the blood of Jesus. We belong to him. And because we belong to him and because we've been marked, you can come on in. When you come up into the door, and there, who are you? Man, I've got the mark. I've been washed in the blood. I've been marked by the blood of Jesus. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King. And they see the blood, you can come on in. You can come into the Holy of Holies. You can come into the very presence of God because you've been marked by the blood. You can touch the presence. You're qualified. Amen. Not because we're good, not because we did anything, but because of what Jesus did. The Bible says where any two or three are gathered in his name, he is there. He shows up. Amen. So he's here this morning. And that's what's so powerful about a corporate anointing. The Bible says to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Do you know there's power in a corporate anointing? Amen. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. When my brothers and sisters join with me in the presence of God, we're experiencing the presence of God. There's power in a corporate anointing. There's power there. It takes us to another level of the presence of God, experiencing the glory of God, the high praise. And the Bible says when we get into that place of praise with God, have you ever noticed how when you're entering into that place of worship and you start touching the presence, how the Lord just shows up? The Bible says he inhabits, he dwells in, he abides in the presence of his people. I'm going to tell you, when a group of people get together and start worshiping God, God shows up. Amen. I'm going to ask Daniel to come back with our music. The Word of God says we enter into his courts with praise. Amen. You want to come into the presence of God? You enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. You come into, that's why we have worship. We don't just do it to entertain. We don't just do it to sing some songs. We do it to enter into the presence, to touch the presence of God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So you've been given an invitation to experience the presence of God.